Good morning. Along with Ben's welcome to worship and the worship team, I'm Sarah, one of the pastors here at Hope. I want to welcome everyone to worship. Because of the program today, we're going to do things in a little different order. And so in a moment, we will receive our morning's offering. And I want to thank you for the gifts that you give to Hope Lutheran Church to help us fulfill our mission together to encourage all people to know the love of Christ. In the video, you heard me say that we offer 38 worship services. I was told by John Bedore it's 31 Christmas services. That's how many worship services we have the week of Christmas. And so that's a lot of people to tell about Jesus. So thank you for the gifts that you give. And as the ushers come forward to receive our morning offering, to get us launched into our sermon this morning about the character of God, about how he is gracious and merciful, I'd like to draw your attention to the screen.
If you tried to describe what God is like, it could be difficult or daunting. But when the people who wrote the Bible pondered the mystery of God, they consistently describe God's character in this way: compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. We're going to look at the second key word in this statement, gracious. The Hebrew word is chanun, which is related to the Hebrew noun chen. This word, chen, is often translated as grace or favor. And if you study how this word is used throughout the Bible, you find a fascinating story. One meaning of chen is delightful or favorable. In the Psalms, a skilled poet is said to have lips of chen. That is, he can craft beautiful words that bring delight. Or a dazzling piece of jewelry is an ornament of chen. It attracts attention and favor. This is why chen is often the word used to describe a gift given with delight or favor. In these cases, chen could be translated as grace. Like in the story of Esther, who approaches the king of Persia to ask that she and her people be spared from death. She calls this a request for chen. And because the king delights in Esther, he favors her and grants her wish. So, giving a gift of favor is chen because it's motivated by delight. And the most extreme kind of chen is showing favor to someone who should get what they deserve, not a generous gift. Like Jacob, who cheated his brother Esau, ran away, and then after 20 years wants to come back and make things right. So he comes to Esau asking, "May I find chen in your eyes?" Jacob isn't asking for what is fair, but for favor. And surprisingly, that's what Esau gives him. He chooses to delight in his brother Jacob and show him grace that he doesn't deserve. Now, chen requires a generous spirit, which people sometimes have. But in the Bible, the one who shows more chen than anyone else is God. Like when God rescued the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and they quickly betray him by giving their allegiance to a golden idol as their god. But then, Moses steps in and asks God to consider giving a gift that they don't deserve. And God says, yes, by showing the ultimate act of chen, forgiveness and a promise to be with these people. This character trait of God is so reliable that over 40 times in the book of Psalms, people cry out for God's chen when they're sick or in danger or when the Israelites are in exile. And the biblical prophets, like Isaiah, looked back to God's chen in the past and boldly declared that God will one day show chen to his people by delivering them and all creation from death and ruin. Now, when we turn to the authors of the New Testament, they describe God's chen with the Greek word charis, which means gracious gift. Like when we're introduced to Jesus in the Gospel of John, we're told that Jesus is God's glorious charis become human, sent into a world of people trapped in darkness and death. Because according to the Apostle Paul, we're like the living dead. God has handed humanity over to the destructive consequences of our selfish decisions. But, Paul says, God is rich in mercy, and by his charis, he's rescued us. He's talking about how Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are offered to us as a generous gift of life that is more powerful than death. And as with any gift, all one has to do is receive it. So, now you can see why the biblical authors talk so much about this description of God's character throughout the Bible. When people are willing to own their failures and ask God for chen, he has a consistent and generous response. God gives the gift of himself, his life, and his love. And this is what it means that God is gracious.
So God is gracious and merciful, full of chen and charis. What does that mean for you and me? What does that look like? And what does it have to do with our everyday life? When I was growing up, my parents got me this book and read this book to me by Shel Silverstein. It's called The Giving Tree. And The Giving Tree is a story of a tree and a boy and their relationship. And the tree loved the boy and the boy loved the tree. But as the boy grew older, he became more discontent with life. And the simple pleasure of swinging from the tree's branches and playing in her leaves and laying in the shade of her branches, well, he wanted more. And so he started spending less and less time with the tree. But when he came back, you know, the tree made some offerings. Like, you know, one day he came back and you know, he had a girlfriend. And so he carved a heart, an initial in the tree, and they sat under the tree. And the tree was just happy because the boy was there. And then of course, he grows a little bit more, and he realizes that one of the desires of his heart is money. He needs money to live. And so the tree offers her apples. And then he comes back again a little later. Now I want a wife and children. And so I need a house. I need to build a house. And so the tree gives her branches. And after the branches go, then he comes back. And now he's even older and I want to travel. And so she offers her trunk and he builds a boat. And he goes away, comes back, and now he's an elderly man. And she's happy that he's there, but she says, I have nothing left to give. She's just a stump. And the old man says, that's just fine. That's all I need, a place to sit and rest. And so the tree puts herself up tall and offers her stump, and he sits down, and the end of the story says that the tree was happy. And as I read this story now to my kids, you know, there's a part of me that's like, you know, that little boy, he never said thank you. You know, and I like want to rewrite the story. But as I read this story, I can't help but see myself in that little boy. The one who asks and receives, sometimes without saying thank you. The one who sits restless in the presence of others, probably most especially with God. The one who can become discontent with life, not good enough, never enough. The one who often takes for granted the grace and favor of friends and family, but most especially, again, God. Yet God, in his grace and mercy, is constantly providing all that we need and have. God is always inviting us into relationship with him and with others. God is the one who is patiently waiting for our return to him, even when we turn our back on him and walk away. Because the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. This is who God is. When my sin, your sin, when the sin of the world seeks to divide us, to draw us further and further away from one another and from God, it is God who draws near. It is God who puts on human flesh and enters our broken world. It is God, his grace, his mercy, and compassion that wants to make itself known, not for his sake, but for our sake, so that our lives and our hearts can be healed and transformed, to show us favor that we cannot imagine or comprehend on our own. One of my favorite authors from my hometown, his name is Mitch Albom. He writes a lot of fictional stories. He writes a lot of other people's stories as a journalist. But he decided to write his own story in one of his books called Have a Little Faith. And Mitch's story about favor, about grace, about mercy, he tells the story of how he was asked to deliver the eulogy for his rabbi, the rabbi he knew growing up, the one who tried to raise him in that faith. And Mitch, you know, he's kind of blown away. Who am I to give this well-to-do rabbi in a wealthy New Jersey neighborhood? Who am I to give the eulogy? I'm good at writing, but I've kind of walked away from the faith. But as he reconnects with his rabbi, as he tells the story, as he reconnects with the rabbi and the faith he was raised in, he also connects with a pastor in his new hometown of Detroit. And this pastor is a recovering drug addict and convict. And his name is Pastor Henry Covington. And Pastor Covington, he ministered to a congregation that housed the homeless and the poor, and the church that his congregation worshiped in, it was falling apart. There was water leaking in from big holes in the roof, and the heat would always go out. They never knew if they could keep up with their bills or if it would be shut off all of their water and electricity. And yet, Pastor Covington never gave up. He kept persisting. And Mitch notices in his book that his rabbi never gave up. Never gave up on Mitch to write his eulogy and to reconnect with God. Through the telling of his story, the faith and persistence of both Rabbi Lewis and Pastor Covington, it moves in Mitch. It moves something in Mitch to see God's presence at work, not only in his rabbi and in this pastor, but also in his own life. And as the book concludes, yes, he felt he did a favor for his rabbi giving his eulogy when he finally passed away. He gave his rabbi's eulogy. He also did a favor for Pastor Covington. He wrote an article in the Detroit Free Press and garnered financial support and spiritual support for that community, and they were able to restore the church, making that place of worship viable to house the homeless and to praise God. So yes, Mitch did favor for two others. But in the end, Mitch realized that he was the one who was extended a favor, the gift of grace and mercy and faith, healing and hope for his cynical and hurting heart. God is gracious and merciful. This is who God is. And through God's grace and mercy and compassion, God works in us to move us back into right relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. He works in us faith in him, to trust in him, to believe that this incredible gift that we do not deserve, and often we don't even say thank you for, it's ours. And all we have to do is receive it. God is gracious and merciful, charis. He gives his life and his love to us through this baby that we're about to prepare and receive this Christmas. That's the point of Christmas. Not that we would just celebrate and have awesome songs sung by our kids. My kid's up here too, I'm really excited. But what he really is inviting us to is to receive him. To receive this gift of love and life into our own hearts and souls that are discontent and happy and broken and hurting. To receive grace and mercy that has the power to transform and heal. To receive Jesus, this precious gift. And as we receive this gift of grace and mercy in Jesus this Christmas, we're also invited into another thing that God does through grace and mercy. He tells us that we can be agents of his grace and mercy. We are invited to become his gracious and merciful hands in this world. Here at Hope, we have a very tangible way that we're engaging this Advent to do that. It's through the emergency food pantry. To bring grace and mercy through the giving of gifts, of basic necessities, bridging the gap between food scarcity and having enough. We can give of ourselves monetarily, yes. We can also give in-kind gifts through dry goods, through diapers and toothpaste. We're all invited to do this, to make a difference in Jesus' name for those who are hurting in our community. But God invites us to be his hands and feet of grace and mercy in other ways too. He invites us to show grace and mercy to family and friends whom we may have a broken relationship with. We have a hard time getting along. Maybe we even have a hard time forgiving. Our hurt and our pride stand in the way of healing. And yet God invites us out of his charis to give charis. But perhaps it's not family and friends. Perhaps it's others in our community. Maybe it's even people in our nation and our world that you and I, we so quickly, when we turn on that TV, we hear the news, or we read an article, or we watch a YouTube video, whatever it may be, we watch it in judgment and with anger, and we talk about those people. Well, God is inviting us to see us as he sees us, and to extend charis, grace, and mercy, even to those people. But maybe the person we need to extend charis to the most is not outside, but right here, ourselves, because of the hurt and the pain we have caused others and to ourselves. God invites us to extend charis, to stand in the truth that because of his son, Jesus, we are made his children. That because of his grace and forgiveness, we are made new. And that the things of this world, they don't define us anymore. He does. That our relationship with him has been healed. That we have hope and a future. And because of grace and mercy, we can let go of the past and step into this new and eternal future with Jesus. So people of hope, let us be reminded and let us live out each day that the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, for your gift to us, this precious gift that you give us in him, that you would give your life and love in him for us so that we can be made right with you again and with one another. Help us to trust and to stand firmly in that promise that you love us, you forgive us, you redeem us, and you lead us. Help us to walk in your way, showing grace and mercy as you call each and every one of us to do in our own way, in what needs the most grace and mercy in our souls and in other souls at this moment. Help us to show grace and mercy because that's who you are. And may that show of grace and mercy point others to you and the love that you have for the whole world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.